All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show here on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Regal Realty Group. We'll continue our fantastic show today, bringing our good friend Jonathan Hutton, who always has great opinions. Jonathan, how are you, brother?
Big Joe, I'm great, man. Great to hear your voice this morning. Hope everyone's off to a great start to the week.
You as well. I'm sure you and Chad will have a lot to say this afternoon on your show, but my goodness, we're taking thoughts, Jonathan, on playing GM. And if this team goes, they got the bye week, they go out in 2 weeks, and they don't make any changes, what are you telling your fan base? What are you telling people why you don't trade and get some value back? Because obviously this team is not very good.
They're not. Look, I understand the sentiment. I do. Because at the trade deadline, there's been a lot more movement in recent years than what it used to be. You know, Joe, whenever I would stand out there and you're the only media member that would want to talk to me when I first started up during two-a-days, you know, there weren't many trades back, you know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. You know, there wasn't a lot of movement. Now there seems to be a bit more for draft picks, teams trying to dump salaries towards the end of the year, whatever it might be. But you have to get something in return. Honestly, like reports were that they were calling around just trying to gauge interest in what Henry could bring this past off season. I don't know how much interest there was in terms of what you get in return, and especially now, like I don't know what an injured Tannehill brings. I don't know what Derrick Henry brings right now, given the money and the salary cap constraints of some teams. Plus, you have to want to pay the running back. That's not the case. And you know Hopkins has a contract now at the end of the year, but avoidable one after this season with an out. Autry. I mean, again, I don't know what return you get that makes the fan base happy enough to part ways with some of the team's top stars. And Christian Fulton and others, I don't know what any team would be wanting right now based on the return on investment towards the end of the year for them.
Are you ready to see Will Levis?
I am, but I don't know if the timing is right. And let me explain here. So Levis is the future, right? Or at least he's the future starter at some point. At minimum, Joe, they should elevate him to the backup position over the bye week if he's ready. If he's the backup quality guy that we think he is. But I think if Tannehill can't go, they give Willis a chance before turning to Levis full time. I think Willis starts, and I bet we see Levis in the game as well against Atlanta if Tannehill can't go. Levis has been third string all season. He's getting no reps. He's working, you know, one-on-one behind the scenes with Charles London and Tim Kelly, but getting no opportunities, no responsibilities as far as all that is concerned. He's the redshirt quarterback. If he doesn't play in 13 days, I don't know what the point was in trading up. If he doesn't play, and Tannehill's not ready because he's the backup, and Willis is limited in what we see. The guy's been sacked 17% of all snaps he's played so far in his pro career. But, Joe, the season is on life support. The past two games have not just been losses. They feel like the end to a chapter in many ways. And the feeling I have of where this is all headed is pretty evident given on how this team is playing. The quarterback decision is coming soon, whether Tannehill is healthy or if he can't go. I'm not saying it's happening now if Tannehill is capable of playing, but at 2-4, the season is capable of being lost in a short stretch right when they return from the bye week. And the vibe is different with this team than what I'm used to in the past. Just seems, just from talking to people and just watching the results and listening to comments post-game from Vrabel and then it not resonating week after week, Joe, it seems like a bunch of guys keeping their heads down. It doesn't feel like this is as tight-knit of a group in the past, even when they were struggling. And I'm sure a big part of that is the big roster turnover. But the smart players know that there's another big roster turnover coming this offseason. It is going to be a hell of a rebuild. And it's going to be interesting to see how patient Amy Adams Strunk is right now, because she wasn't patient early December trying to get the clock started on what was going to be a long offseason roster-wise as well. So, of course, you want to see the quarterback play, Joe. I just don't think it's going to be at 2-4 coming off of a bye week if Tannehill's healthy. And if he's not ready to go, I would definitely have Will Levis ready within the game plan, because I would rotate him at minimum with Malik Willis, even though I think they'll probably have Willis give it one more chance before Levis is the full-time guy to end the year.
Say that game against the Falcons, Jonathan, if Levis does come out, does start, take all the reps, what does that tell you?
That they've – well, hang on. My initial response is that they've decided over the bye week that Tannehill's not playing, and they're getting ready to see if Levis is the future, right? They're going to get him some reps, some throws under the pad, so to speak, towards the end of the year. But it's so early in the season that that's not the message yet. I think the message would be, last year when Tannehill went down, we saw what happened offensively. It was a bad offense then. This would be a move that you're at least trying to throw the football and push the ball downfield more than just run around and try to move the chains. And then that's what I feel like Willis is doing. He still doesn't let the he doesn't pull the trigger. He doesn't let it rip, and he still is just that some of the decisions on the field are interesting yesterday, where he decides to stay in bounds even when it's a busted play because Spears didn't make the block at the goal line, taking a sack when time is of the essence. You throw the football away at worst there. I don't think it's a – I know what you're asking. Is it a signal of a white flag? I don't think so. I think it's a signal that you've got to do something different, because you know the result if you stick with the status quo and Tannehill's not playing for the rest of the year.
We're talking to our good friend Jonathan Hutton. You can follow him on Twitter at Hutton Outkick. He also the host of Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, 2-5 here on 94.9. The Fan here in Nashville. All right, you're Derrick Henry. Do you go in? Do you want to trade? Do you stick around? What do you do if you're Derrick Henry?
If I'm Derrick Henry, I'm sticking with what we're seeing offensively, minus the three and outs and not being able to stay on the field. If I'm Derrick Henry, the best chance of production is going to be with a run first offense is going to be here. The problem is Derrick Henry isn't being able to be featured as much because they're not staying on the field. They've got to have a plan, and the plan to fix what is a snap count that's what, 43, 46 snaps? In the 40s, it's the lowest amount of snaps for any offense across the National Football League. Mm. They run a lot of clock. They don't run many plays. And paired with Tajay Spears, I would say he's still got the top gear. He's still got the evident of hitting the miles per hour that we're used to seeing. Henry's top speed yesterday was nearly the same as his top speed pre-injury. And I think with an offensive play caller that's going to try to lean on him as long as they can stay on the field, his best opportunity to put up some numbers going into the offseason might just be right where he is. But Joe, I mean, here's the writing on the wall though. Look at the contracts across the NFL for running backs. Look at the one-year contracts that the top guys are under right now, and then the production that they are or are not doing. Saquon Barkley's not available. Josh Jacobs is not a factor on a consistent basis. Jonathan Taylor got paid, but not nearly what he wanted, and he had to sit out to do that and be disgruntled. Henry's been the opposite. I don't think he's behind the scenes demanding a trade unless he knows he's getting a contract extension, and no team's going to be handing that out to him. So I don't know what good it would do to go somewhere else and audition, because that's all he could do here at best anyway. The veterans know they're not back next year. The top guys are smart. This is a situation where he didn't demand a trade in the offseason, and you could see what was coming. So I don't think that's it's in the best interest to go in right now at the deadline going into week seven wanting that, unless the team is also saying, let's get something in return and let's do what's best for you. What do you want to do?
All right, say you can get a number one for Derrick Henry. Do you still pull it?
If I get a number one pick?
Yeah, from the other team. Whoever team it is, you get their number one, do you trade him?
Oh, yes. Yes. But the he's not going to bring that. He's not going to bring a first-round pick. And I think the return there would be low considered what the expectations are for how they use it. The Titans treat Derrick Henry as a first-round return in a trade. I don't think other offenses would. And I think because of that, there's no way the value is worth the move at this point in the season. Trading Henry, Joe, that's the white flag you're referring to. If they come back and they start Levis, what does that say? That says a lot more than it would coming back and starting the rookie over Malik Willis. And again, this is a hypothetical of Tannehill can't go. The ankle, I think, is something that we all could foreshadow. And starting Willis over Levis is not either one over the other is not a signal of a white flag. It's kind of the inevitable. Trading Henry or trading a player of that magnitude for what they mean to this roster, and no one means more in terms of what that signals, that he is their identity or who they want to be, that would signal. That would be like firing John Robinson in December instead of waiting until January. That you're going ahead and preparing for the offseason, because trading him would not get the return that you would expect. First round pick is different, though, because you're getting a hell of an investment, and this team needs much more than just one player in the first round.
I agree with you. All right, I got a question for you. You're going to stick with us. We're going to do celebrity birthdays. You're going to partake in America's favorite game. But we come back, I want to get your thoughts. If you're one team in the NFL, what team should go after Derrick Henry? Don't say it. Don't answer right now. We'll get after the break. All right, Jonathan Hutton's going to stick around with us right here. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game, brought to you by our friends at Regal Realty Group.